Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Questions for Thomas S. Monson. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are concluding our fantasy interview with Church President Thomas S. Monson. Now, if you haven't caught the earlier broadcast, let me just explain. This is a fictitious scenario. What would be some of the questions we might have if we were given the opportunity to talk privately with current Church President Thomas Monson? But the condition is he has to answer our questions with absolute honesty. So we put together several questions that we would like to ask him. And as we said before, if you might have some questions that you're curious about, why don't you send them to us at contact@mrm.org. We'll look them over. If we have enough to do another show, maybe we'll do a follow-up on this and present some of the questions that you may have.
And if you're listening on the radio right now and didn't know that we have a podcast, you can go on our main site and click right-hand side, and you'll be able to find our whole library of shows.
Okay, here's a question that we would like to have answered by Mr. Monson. As a child, what were you taught about the priesthood ban on blacks or those of African heritage? Now, why did we word it that way? The reason we worded it as a child is because it's in recent years that the Mormon Church has all of a sudden, you've heard me say that they've had this doctrinal amnesia when it comes to why blacks were banned from holding the priesthood. Now the Mormon Church is giving the impression that they don't know why. They just were banned, you know, they just banned and a large percentage of their own members for no reason whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, only God knows. Well, the problem with that answer is we have plenty of evidence to show what Mormon leaders were saying in years past. So that's why we phrase the question, as a child, Mr. Monson, what were you taught about the priesthood ban on blacks? Let's look at a statement by Mormon Apostle Melvin J. Ballard. What did he have to say? This is in Sermons and Missionary Service of Melvin J. Ballard, page 248. And we should mention that Ballard died in 1939. So he was around while Mr. Monson was a young boy, because he was born, 1927, I think. So what did Ballard say?
Why is it in this church we do not grant the priesthood to the Negroes? It is alleged that the Prophet Joseph said, and I have no reason to dispute it, that it is because of some act committed by them before they came into this life. It is alleged that they were neutral, standing neither for Christ nor the devil. But I am convinced it is because of some things they did before they came into this life that they have been denied the privilege. The races of today are very largely reaping the consequences of a previous life.
Now, when he talks about the races of today, that goes right along with what Mark Peterson taught. Mark Peterson was a Mormon apostle. He gave a very controversial speech called Race Problems as They Affect the Church. This was on August 27, 1954. On page 11, it says, "We cannot escape the conclusion that because of performance in the pre-existence, some of us are born as Chinese, some as Japanese, some as Indians, some as Negroes, some as Americans," which that seems kind of odd, Americans, okay, "some as Latter-day Saints. These are rewards and punishments fully in harmony with His," and the His is capitalized, speaking of God, "God's established policy in dealing with sinners and saints, rewarding all according to their deeds." Now, this was 1954. Thomas Monson would be, basically an adult at this time. So you would think, hearing this, that that's what Thomas Monson probably believed in his younger years. So what he tells us today, if we were to ask, well, what do you think today? He could easily say, well, we don't know. That's why we phrased the question. What were you taught in your younger years?
Mm-hmm.
Because they were much more open on this subject and really much more truthful to their own people when it came to this very controversial subject. Some more questions.
Well, how about this one? When you and other leaders get up to talk in general conference, they speak as if they don't struggle with sin. Do you personally struggle with sin? And if so, wouldn't it be an encouragement to members to know that? If so, why not share it?
Now, that's something that I've noticed in listening to General Conference. You would think these guys have no problems whatsoever. They talk about the membership having to repent, confess, and repent, confess, and repent, but they never talk about their own personal lives. Do they have to confess and repent? Most Mormons watching these men in General Conference would think that they probably have overcome sin, as how it was described in The Miracle of Forgiveness by Spencer Kimball. But let's look at it in reality. Do we really think for a moment that Thomas Monson doesn't struggle with sin? I mean, he obviously has to, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all struggle with it.
Well, a Mormon might be sitting here thinking, wait a minute, we like to have people up front who give us encouragement by they actually have been able to do this. So maybe there's this idea that to show any weaknesses on the parts of the leaders would maybe cause these followers to stumble. How would you respond to that?
I would say if that's the case, then what you're advocating is that these leaders not be authentic. You see, that's one thing that I appreciate in Christian circles. My pastor, he will freely admit that he has his struggles. When I speak from the pulpit, when I'm speaking on Sunday morning in a church, I'm not afraid to admit that I have my struggles. I mean, I think it helps people to know, hey, we're all in this boat together. But the fact remains is even though we're in this boat together, this boat of sinful behavior, we can come to the foot of the cross and we know that by his mercy we can be forgiven. The problem with Mormonism is they put on these airs as if somehow they've overcome, these leaders have overcome, and we all know that cannot be the truth. Even though I have had in the past, I remember one case in particular, I was talking to a young Mormon who firmly believed that the president of the church did not sin. I don't know where he got this impression, but he certainly wouldn't get the impression that he does sin from the lips of the leaders because they just don't talk about that. And if they ever do talk about any type of shortcomings, it's always very vague and more about silly mistakes they make. It's not the transgressions that many of us struggle with at times. Hopefully not all the time, but let's be serious. We do have this struggle with sin.
Well, Paul talks about this in Romans, where he said he struggled with sin, and it was a constant battle. So if somebody like Paul can struggle with sin, we do as well.
Well, going back to the question that we asked, and I don't want to take much more time on this, but you know, Aaron Shafawala, who works with us at MRM, he likes to ask Mormons about, did God sin when he was a mortal man? Many Latter-day Saints answer yes to that question, and they'll say that it gives them comfort to know that even God, when he was a human being, struggled with sin, and if God could overcome, that means they can too. Well, if that's what they're thinking, wouldn't you also think that the Mormon leadership ought to let their hair down, if you will, and be a little more honest about
that? And just the idea that they're real people too, I think the membership could very well be comforted in the idea that there's not a possibility of ever attaining what Mormonism says you need to attain in order to know that you're in the celestial kingdom.
The next couple of questions actually deal with verses right out of the Book of Mormon. They're questions that we ask average Latter-day Saints. Mr. Monson, are you sufficiently humble and stripped of pride, as Alma 5:27 and 28 says you should be?
How do you answer that question, Bill?
Well, you know, it's almost, that's, now there's a gotcha question for you, and yeah. It comes right out of the Book of Mormon. It says you have to be sufficiently humble, and we kind of joke about that, that if a person says, yes, I'm sufficiently humble, didn't they just prove that they're not? Because normally, humble people recognize their pride problem. They do.
Right.
They recognize their pride problem. They don't brag about their humility. Now, the next question would be, have you, Mr. Monson, denied yourself of all ungodliness as commanded by Moroni 10:32? And that's exactly what it says in Moroni 10:32 at the back of the Book of Mormon. It says that you must deny yourself of all ungodliness, and then is his grace sufficient for you.
That's completely opposite of the gospel given in the Bible, that grace is given to us first, and good works do follow, but not something you have to be able to attain on your own. Jesus has paid it all.
If he was to answer no to that question, then we would have to assume the question that we asked earlier about struggling with sin. Of course he does. Of course he does. And if so, I think it goes back to the authenticity issue. Why can't these men be authentic with their people? Why can't they be authentic?
Hmm.
And then we get to the real coup de grace question, the question that we've often asked many Latter-day Saints. Mr. Monson, if you were to die right now, do you have the assurance that all of your sins are forgiven and that you would qualify to enter the celestial kingdom? Do you have that same assurance for your wife?
Hmm.
Now, why would I ask that second question? Because the only way celestial exaltation really works is if you go as a husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
You both have to be equally righteous. If you are a righteous Latter-day Saint and you're doing everything you think you're supposed to do, and yet you have a wife, let's say, who has secret sin, or you women, if your husband has secret sin, he won't qualify, or she won't qualify. And while you're hoping to be with that individual in the next life, if there was something about their character that you overlooked and just were just incapable of knowing, you're not going to be together in the next life. It's as simple as that. You are not following celestial law, which means you will not inherit the celestial kingdom.
Well, the same would go with all the kids. If they expect to have their kids with them, which I think is an impossibility we've talked about before, then all of them are going to have the same characteristics. And are all your kids living this way?
Yeah. So really, it's a dream for the Latter-day Saint that couldn't happen in reality anyway. Anyway, that's our fantasy interview with Thomas S. Monson. As we stated before, we don't ever expect this to really happen. But if he was to be brutally honest with his answers, these are some questions that we would like to ask the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. At Mormonism Research Ministry, we're committed to equipping Christian believers to effectively share their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. That's why we produce Viewpoint on Mormonism, as well as operate our website, mrm.org, where you can find a wealth of information on this topic. We also have books and downloadable MP3s available online. In addition, we invite you to join in on the conversation at our blog site called Mormon Coffee. We want to be your resource for helping you better share the Christian faith.